Tom and his wife and children are NTM missionaries, or former NTM missionaries in the Philippines, and we sure appreciate having him come and speak for us. So we're looking forward to having you share God's word with us.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Appreciate it. I appreciate Brother Bob giving me the opportunity to speak. Wow, once an NTM member, I don't know if we ever stop being, they can change the name and change the location, but I don't know if we ever stop being a New Tribes missionary. It's in our blood, I think. But to quote a man, how in the world are you? You ever listen to Dr. Cook? Come on, that was the way he'd open up everything. Well, how in the world are you? I'm just fine. He says, but if the world's treating you really fine, you're in the wrong place, man. But we appreciate being here. We come down and help watch Rondi and Tim's dad while Tim and Peggy go off on their mission trip or see their children. And we always enjoy coming down and seeing. I think more than half the people over at Ethnos is at the homes I've either gone to school with or met somewhere along the line. But it's always a joy to come here and see all of you folks that come here and worship. What a privilege it is to come to worship in the house of God.
Amen.
I don't know if we understand how much of a privilege that is. And it's going to become more and more of a privilege as our world turns more and more evil and wicked. But today we're going to be talking about some fun things, some good things. Just let me introduce myself real quickly to you. My name's Tom Yoakum. I'm a California boy mostly. Rondi, my wife, is from Milwaukee. And her dad, Ben Castagna, and her mother, Rita, were teachers. Maybe you've been under their teaching for many years. And now Ben is 96. So, anyways, we're caring for him. But we live up in Maryland. We came home from the Philippines after 3 terms there, establishing a little church up there in the middle of Luzon, a very wicked, rough place. We left once, and then God moved us back. Very, very tough. But you know, I was over there in 2016, and out of just a handful of people, I gave the keynote speech. I was a keynote speaker, and I was speaking to over 2,000 people that claimed to know the Christ from that handful of people that we saw come to know the Lord. It was all God, because He took us out of there after 7 years, and we just prayed for it, and it just happened. You know, thank God for that. But anyways, we settled in Maryland where we could get medical help for our children, and that has happened, and we continue to do that. So there's greetings from us and from Grace Baptist Church up in Bowie, Maryland. We give you greetings from the little church over in the mountains, from the Boot Boot Believers, and so we send our greetings as well. And so today I was thinking about this, and I don't want to just get up here and preach. I want to relate to you about some of the things that God has been teaching me as I've been going through the scriptures, especially what we're going to be talking about in Ephesians. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to give you a little history on this, and then we're going to talk about some of these verses. But as I was coming here, the message is always the same. As I come here, and as you come here, the message is always the same. And that message is that we share the same relationship with one another because we have the same Father. Isn't that cool? As a cool idea. In other words, we are kinfolk. Cousins and uncles, aunts and uncles, and grandmas and grandpas. We are kinfolk, and that's the great part about it. And I don't care if I come 800 miles here or if I go all the way across the 7,000 or 8,000 miles to the other side. I'm going to see kinfolk. Relations. And that is a cool thought. Another thing I was thinking about was thinking about coming here and speaking is that as believers, we're all in the same boat. We're in a chaotic world. Now, If you haven't seen that, I don't know where you've been.
Yeah.
That, right? Right? Because we're living in a chaotic, hostile world.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it's hard to figure out how to survive in this world. And a lot of times we're critical. We're down. We don't know what to do. We get together and we talk about the government. We talk about the president. We talk about all the things that are going on. And, you know, the insecurity is just, it kind of pours out when you get together with people. And I think that as we look at these scriptures today, I think we're going to find a remedy for how to deal with the stuff that just keeps bombarding us every day and half the night. And so we want to talk about that. I don't have to describe to you what our world is like with the killings and the controversial government problems and the apathy and the apostolic churches and the hatred, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
How do you survive? Well, Paul's going to tell us here how to do it and why. And I have really enjoyed the teaching here of our brothers as they teach the Word of God. Straight and true and biblical, you know. And we need doctrine, and we need this. And I'm not saying they don't give it to us, but also I'm thinking many times we need encouragement. When we come in those doors out of that hostile world, we're not coming in for the air conditioning only. We're coming in for encouragement. Encouragement from one another, and encouragement from by the Word of God to our souls, because out there you're not getting it. You're getting a world that wants to cram you into its mold, and it wants you to live like it and act like it. And we can't. We're not that stuff anymore. And so we come in here and we rub shoulders and we hug and we laugh and we cry and we encourage one another with the Word of God. And so today, I hope that you will leave today as we've dug through Ephesians chapter 1 and pulled out the little nuggets. You know, there's a gold one over here and a topaz over here. And we're just digging through them. It's not going to be so much an exegesical explanation. I'm not that type of a person. But I just want to get into the Word and look at it and see what I'm going to find and which jewel I'm going to get out of this, or jewels, for what I'm going to draw from this next week. And sometimes we can't get any more than just next week when Brother Bob will be speaking. But anyway, so I was thinking about the hostile world that we're in, and I thought right away of John 17. So turn to John 17, and we won't be spending a lot of time here. Just a couple verses here. If I can find it in my scriptures, John chapter 17. And, you know, in this passage, the only dark letters is the first two lines. All the rest of it is Jesus talking to his Father. And you know, when I read this, I almost feel like I'm intruding. Say, wow, look at this. Jesus is talking to his Father. I mean, this is something that might be a private conversation. And yet, I can read it. And I can see what he's saying to his Father. And in verse 8 and 9, I'm encouraged by it, because Jesus says, I have given to these people who you've given me the words which you have given me, and they have received them. They have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And Jesus says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. For those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, Jesus is praying for them. And he's doing that today, isn't he? He's up in heaven. He's interceding for you. And when Satan comes along and says, look there, Joachim just really messed up today, I just chuck him out. Get him out of the family. He's a blot on your family. Jesus says, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen, because this is my child, and it's not going to happen. So go away. Go away, Satan. And then we get down to verse 13. And verse 13 says, but now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy. Have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy of the Lord You know, there's a lot of places to get joy. I mean, that's definitely not that. I mean, we can find joy in a lot of things. Inheritance and all kinds of fun things like that. But you know, those things pass. But the peace of God that passes all understanding will stay with us forever. And so as you go in and I go into this next week, we're going to be drawing from God's riches in heaven. And one of those things that He's going to be pouring out of heaven onto us is the joy of the Lord. I tell you, it's a sad thing to see a Christian that gets overwhelmed by the world. And I understand. He gets overwhelmed with the world. I just don't know how to do it. And they walk around this poor face and woe is me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where's the joy? Turn up those curls in your mouth, he says, and rejoice in me because I have taken care of all things. If you just think about that thought right there, you know, you're going to have joy and you're going to be walking around smiling. People may think you're crazy walking around smiling today. But say, if they ask you why you're smiling, tell them, say, hey, I know the end. I've got the book. It tells me what the end is going to be. And so I can hang out. I can hang tight. I can do this. And I can do it with joy. But He gives us not only joy, but He gives us love and unity and purpose and comfort. This morning we're reminded of a place just like our world today. And we're going to be reading a little bit about that. In fact, we're going to be reading the first chapter of Ephesians here. And I just want to give you a little history to it before we get into the verses. Modern-day Turkey today, up there in Ephesus, and what an amazing place! You go up there today, and I've talked to people in my Sunday school class that have visited there. Unfortunately, I've never had a chance to do that, but they've been there. It's something like from the end of the bay up to where it is. It's like 5 to 7 miles of silt. And during the time of Ephesus, they were constantly cleaning out the silt so they could get up the river to there. And so because of that, they were quite a commercial place. I mean, people could go right up to Ephesus, and it was just a place that was unbelievable. In fact, the Roman government would go there often during the year and just trying to, you know, keep control of it and just show them that they were in charge and everything. And so you had government control up there several times a year. And then you had the Olympics were held there. Okay, and there was lots of cultural and ethnic diversity. That's what we hear today. Diversity, diversity, diversity. Our church at one point was wanting to celebrate their diversity. I said to the pastors, you can't celebrate diversity because diversity talks about me. I'm me, and I'm whatever color or whatever ethnic origin I am. And so when that happens, that causes disunity. You can't celebrate it. You've got to celebrate unity within our diversity. And they saw that, and they changed that dialogue like that. Because we can't celebrate diversity. We can rejoice in diversity, but we rejoice in the unity we have as coming from different places and different ethnic origins. And so that's one thing that I think is important for us to see here. Well, in Acts chapter 18, and you don't have to turn there. I'll tell you what happened. We see Paul the Apostle leaving Athens, and he heads for Corinth. And he gets into Corinth, and he finds a couple that are tent makers, just like himself. And so he says, hey, I'll just hang out with Aquila and Priscilla for a while. Well, as he does, he realizes that they're gifted by God in what they're teaching and stuff. And so when he heads out, he says, come on with me. Let's go traveling. And so when he gets to Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla are with him. So he gets to Ephesus, and typical Paul, he says, okay, now you stay here while I go on down the road. And so he leaves Aquila and Priscilla there in Ephesus because he sees the gifts they have. He says, you stay here and you start this ministry, and I'm going to go on towards Jerusalem. Well, he does come back 3 years later and spends 3 years there. and just austere bunch of people that was there. There was Paul, the apostle, and Aquila and Priscilla, great Bible teachers, and Timothy was there, and John was there, and at the end of his ministry type thing, and just you'd think that was the biggest growing bunch of church, you know, a mega church in this city, but I don't think that was the case. I don't think we found the Ephesus church as a mega church, because in here, I think we see the degradation of this community, this city. Everything the devil could throw their way was in Ephesus. They were it was a place of idol worship. Paganistic superstitions. People of every kind. In fact, I was listening to Chuck Swindoll, and he said that they have the Temple of Diana there. That was the Roman word. It was actually in Greek. It was the Art of Artemis. There was this big, apparently this kind of an ugly big statue. They thought it dropped down from the gods, and it was a fertility god, and so they worshipped her, and they actually, I heard, they actually had a little, and later down in the chapter we see Paul got run out, because when he preached the word of God, they stopped making all these little idols that these guys was making there, and it ruined their business. But they had this idol, so you can see, if you've lived in foreign countries, you'll see, like in the Philippines, they've got a little sign up there that says, God protect us. And then, but in Ephesus, they had a little statue of Artemis or Diana, and they would put it on their front of their chariots or whatever they were driving, motorcycle or whatever, and that was going to protect them from everything and make them fertile, you know? Well, maybe it did. I don't know, but I have my doubts whether that happened. But another thing that was important here to see that made part of the yucky stuff that was there in Ephesus was that if you had committed a crime and you're going to be judged, if you ran away and got to the temple here, and so I've read this, I don't know for sure, but if you got there, that you were acquitted. And so you had all these thugs and all these nasty people there, and were there because they could live there and not go to jail or, you know, die. And so you had all those people. And so they were there and having immunity. Well, I think, man, that really sounds like a good place to start up housekeeping, right? Yeah, raise a family right here with all this junk going on. I don't think so. But this is what Paul is talking about here. This is Paul is saying that, and for us too. I say when we start reading Scripture, we need to apply it to ourselves. We're living in a kind of place like that. Now, maybe it's not as bad as this. Maybe it's worse. It all depends, I guess, where you're living. But we live in between Washington, D.C. and Annapolis, the capital of Maryland, and we're getting a little bit of everything. You know, there are people that are looking for fame and fortune and governmental, higher-ups. And so you've got all of this stuff coming at you. And then everything you listen to on the news is it being that close to the capital is all centered around government stuff. And maybe it's not so bad here, but it's just, it's there, it's oppressive, it's on you all the time. And you're going, whoa, how do I deal with this? Well, I see in Ephesians here how we can get a little handle on this. let's see. We'll go right here to the first chapter. We see here after the introduction here from Paul, the first two verses, the third verse, and we'll start with that one. And let me give you an outline of this passage. I think it's back here. First of all, we see from the first six verses, we see God's blessing to His children. I'll just quickly go through this. Then in the next verses, 7 to 12, we see how we got them and why of those blessings. And then the next couple of verses, 13 and 14, we see how we keep them. We got them, how we did it, and how we keep them. Because some people are not sure. They may be sure what they got and how they got it. And maybe but they don't know how to keep it. And so God, and so Paul tells them how they keep the blessings. And then the last part, 15 to the end of the chapter, is Paul's prayer. And Chuck Swindoll says, if you want to be blessed, take some time and go through the Bible and look at the prayers in the Bible. This one prayed for this. This one prayed for that. The Pauline prayers. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so just go there and look through the prayers of the Bible, and you'll be blessed. And so, so Paul is writing here. You remember now, Paul was in Rome. He was a prisoner. Right? He was a prisoner for 2 years. He was chained to a soldier day and night. I guess he's there day and night. But I know the day, how would you like to be a Roman soldier chained to somebody like Paul the Apostle? I got a feeling not too many of them got out alive without being a believer. but he had freedom. He got his own place to stay. If people could come and he could talk to them. And he had a chance to write the prison epistles, which would be Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And he would write to these people. He'd hear from them, and he would write to them. And so he was writing to men and women like us that were just depressed for what was going on and around them. And so he is teaching this, and he was and encouraging these people. So this brings us to chapter 1 here, and so he's speaking to his beloved Ephesians. And knowing the stress and hardship that they were going through, hardship, hatred, discouragement. And so he starts off here in verse 3, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. If we stopped right there, you'd have enough for the week. I mean, that's a gold one. To walk out those doors into a hostile world and know that God has blessed me with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens. God's got this big bank of riches up there, and not Paul, but they've got other riches up there. And so you can draw from those. And he's willing to just, you can go up there and say, all right, I want a few blessings here, God. And he's, okay, here, I'll just load them onto you. I want to encourage you. So here's some blessings. Steve says, I know that feeling. Anyway, so he lays them on to you. And the sad part about it is that people forget and misread this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every blessing in heavenly places. He doesn't say that. He says he blesses you with spiritual blessings. And you're telling preachers, take this. And other verses in chapter 1 and other parts that he's talking about money and fame and comfort. And so God's up there and he's saying, well, here's Tom Yoakum, and he needs to just not have any hardships. And I want him to have some money, and I want him to live a nice life, and I want him to be comfortable and famous and no problems. The problem I see there is Scripture. That'll get you. What does he say here? He says Philippians chapter 1, 29. He says, I want you to remember it's not only for you to trust in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. Whoa. Or how about James chapter 1? Count it all joy. Well, joy in what? For the persecutions that you're going to go through, the various trials and stuff. So when those come along, we're supposed to have joy in the Lord for allowing us to go through those, become more like Him. And that's what He's doing. One author said, you know, we cannot grow apart from our trials and hardship, because we will be lazy. And we will follow the path down the river and we won't swim up. Because, you know, it's like Chuck Swindoll said one time, I think it's in the book of Mediocrity. He talked about mediocrity and he explains it. And he says, like somebody climbing up a mountain and he gets halfway and he finds a cave. And he gets into the cave and it's pretty comfortable, right? He's got some water there, a little stream, and he gets real comfortable. And he just stays instead of climbing onto the top. That's mediocrity. That's where a lot of us are today. We don't want to swim up river. We've gone halfway up the mountain and we stopped. And we don't want to go any further because it's harder to go on up. It gets rockier and harder to get up there and drier and more dangerous. But God says, you know, I want you. Paul the Apostle said it. He says, I'm not looking back down the mountain. I'm going to keep right on going up till I get to the top. And when I get to the top, I'm going to be standing there waiting for him to open me up his arms and accept me into his paradise. I'm not going to stop halfway. And so he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, what does he mean? What are the spiritual blessings that he's helping that's going to encourage us? Well, he goes on to explain. All right? He chose us. Just think. God looked at Tom Yoakum and he says, I choose him. Because he's trusting Christ. I'm going to choose him to bless the socks off of him every day, every night, all the time. I'm just going to choose to bless him with all my blessings. So he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Imagine that. Before this world was here, I was already slated to get the blessings of God in Christ. And so are you. And so is anybody that has faith in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Here he's talking about our position as he looks down, as God looks down on you and I today, right here, and every night he looks down on us. And in a hostile world where I don't always do everything right, I fail quite a bit. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that word. Forgive me. And about 2 hours later, oh, I shouldn't have had that kind of idea. Or, oh, I shouldn't have treated my wife like that or my daughter like that. Forgive me, Lord. And I'm walking through here. Forgive me, Lord. God says, I forgive you. But just remember, you're as righteous today as you'll ever be. Mm-hmm. I have blessed you with all the spiritual blessings. Salvation, redemption, sanctification. It's all yours right now. You don't have to wait. Now, here's what's happening. I've got all of this that God has given me, and I got this body that doesn't know how to function with it, and I blow it all the time. And so right now, what we're doing is we're just waiting until we get rid of this problem, and we'll be ready to go. And I liked in 1 Thessalonians where he says, you know, the Lord will call and Jesus Christ will come in the clouds. And it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the day I'm looking forward to. But right now, I'm not there. Unless he comes back in the next 5 minutes, I've got to go out into the Florida heat. I've got to get something to eat so I don't starve to death. So this is my world. This is what Jesus is praying for me about. You've got to walk out that door, and I'm praying to the Father that he will give you the strength through and by the power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious Christian life out there. That's what he's saying to the Ephesians here. They're dealing with this on a daily basis. And he said, I chose you before the foundation of the world. And I have predestined you and I have adopted you. I saved you and I adopted you. He didn't stop just by saving you. Now he made it legal. He's adopted you. I mean, I grew up in a family where my father didn't adopt me. So before I went to the mission field, I had to change my name from what was on the birth certificate over to what my name had been all my life so I could go to the mission field without being, you know, any of so-and-so, you know, and they might have ended up in prison somewhere. I couldn't figure out who I was. But God says, no, I've saved you and I've adopted you, chosen you to be my child. Wow. That's another nugget. I mean, you take that into this week. That's two of them, you see here. And so he has adopted us as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Did you ever do something just because you wanted to do it? Sometimes we do that. You know, we see something we want to eat. And we say, that's probably not good for me, but I'm going to eat it anyway. I'm going to eat this bowl of ice cream just because I want to do it. I might gain a few pounds, but I'm just going to do it because I want to do it. This is what God did. God said, I've adopted you because I wanted to. Nobody forced me. I didn't. You know, I just wanted to adopt Bob as my son. You know, because I love him so much. And so, we see here that why he did it in verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. When he had saved us and he adopted us, it was all to the praise of his glory. By that we glorify God. And I was thinking, you know, okay, he did that. Now, how do I glorify God today? And I believe it's just by living a godly life before him. And it might be witnessing. It might be living. It might be caring for somebody. Isn't that, at this age, sometimes we can't go out and do what we did before. But there is things that we can do today to glorify God in our service to him. And it may not look like it used to. Right? So Paul is basically telling them that they can live a victorious Christian life in a cesspool of life. Paul goes on to show us in verse 7 just exactly how we got this. And this is pretty straightforward. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. That's Jesus. For the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And as I read these verses, I was thinking, Jesus, but it looks like God. And it sounds like God the Father. Well, duh. Guess what? They're one. And Jesus is doing things that God did because he's God. And the Holy Spirit's doing what he's doing because he's God. And I'm going, well, how can somebody not see the Trinity here? Because it's all together right there. And there's Jesus and acting like God. Wow. And so we see that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. And Paul explains later, the mystery is God taking the pagans and grafting them into the Jewish vine, the root, and making us his child. And such a great picture there. According to his good pleasure with the purpose in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, in the time period that the fullness of time would come around, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. I see which are in heaven and are on the earth and in him. And I just have written here that could possibly be the rapture when he's gathering. I mean, maybe could be at the end as well, but the rapture, he's doing that for sure when he gathers together the saved all together, taking us into heaven. But that's my idea. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Wow, talk about an inheritance. An inheritance being predestined according to the purpose of him that works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And I say right there, living a life, walking my talk. I talk one way and I live another way, that doesn't work. What does it say, Colossians? He says, as you have received Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. So we've got a big thing to do, you know, this week. Walking in Christ, because of the blessings that he's given us, it's a big deal. But it's also doable. Because now we've got the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus, the disciples and everybody was all upset? Oh, you're going to go away. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, well, I got to go away because I can't send the Holy Spirit to come down and give you the power and the strength that you need to live this Christian life without me. And so I'm going to go, but you just hang tight for a few days. And then at Pentecost, they got the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing to know that every child of God is filled and with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he tells us here in verse 13 and 14. He tells you the blessing. He tells you how you got it. And in 13 and 14 he says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was thinking of a tattoo. You see a lot of people with tattoos around these days. And you know, you can put a big tattoo on yourself, and it's hard to get off. I mean, you can take it off, But they got to scrape your skin down a few layers, and it's painful. It's dangerous. Infection could set in, and so there you go. God says, I'm going to give you an indelible sign. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to be able to scrape it off. You're not going to be able to wear it out. You're not going to be able to throw it out the window. And he says, it's just not going to happen. When I put my seal on you, it's permanent. That's what he says in 14. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until he comes back and accepts you into glory, you've got the Holy Spirit as the guarantee. You know, it's like you get this thing and here's an unrevocable or a warranty for whatever you get. You know, it can never go away. Or some of them, they said limited warranty. And then it says it's not limited warranty. And then try to get the lot limited warranty. You know. But God says, this is a warranty that never runs out. Never runs out. And then lastly here, and I think with the time frame here, we won't go through the last. We'll have you read this for your devotions this next week. But it's the prayer that Paul gives. And I'll read the first couple verses. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the eyes of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints are. And it goes on and on. Read it and you will be blessed. Read it and you will. But I hope that these nuggets that we talked about today will be something that you can go back, and as you read these verses, you'll pull those out again and shine them up. Take your gold out and shine it up. Pull your rubies out. I got a ring the other day, a turquoise ring that my fingers are big and fat, and so we were someplace and I found one. I was going to wear it today. I forgot it. But you know, we didn't need that. We don't need that because I got my spiritual rubies and whatever from heaven. But anyway, I hope that has encouraged you and that you will be encouraged to go ahead and study the Word of God this week and draw out these little nuggets from them. And so Bob is going to come up and we're going to do a little thing here. I want to read these verses and then we're going to sing a duet. Okay, so this is called What a Day That Will Be. You've probably sung it many times, but it goes like this. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come and no clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes, all's peace forevermore. On that high, happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. Okay? No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain. No more party over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And then he leads me through the promised land. And he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a glorious day that's going to be.
Amen.
I think we're all looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
But it ain't now. We've got to go out the doors. Unless you can find it. Okay, Brother Bob.
Forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day!
got a job to do, though. You want me to pray?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's pray today and ask God to help us. We're going to ask God to help us in our world today to be the kind of testimony that we need to be, to have the kind of health that we need, to just to glorify Him in whatever health He gives us and whatever He expects us to do, that we will glorify Him on all that this week until He comes again. And now we'll pray unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all of His children said,
Amen.